making a recording and then immediately listening to it to see what kind of makes my heart hungry, if you know what I mean. Like what sentence or phrase creates that, ooh, I want to hear that again.
Uh-huh.
And once I know what that phrase is, then uh-huh. I go back and make another recording that just kind of repeats that phrase over and over and over again, kind of like a gospel music.
uh-huh, yeah.
Just repeating, you know, amen, amen, amen. And I found that to be really powerful because I need to hear it more than once.
Yeah, for sure. That's a fun analogy with that. So because it kind of is the same process, isn't it? That the way music resonates with us, language can resonate with us as well. I project that's a huge piece of what brings almost everyone to practice is resonating with the language, the way Sherry speaks, the way she writes, you know, the way that she's putting out the path to freedom in language. And then to use that in your recording to be able to really listen for, have that focus of attention to listen for that resonance, and then use that in your favor to just keep repeating those phrases, those things, those words.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that we all have our own native language that speaks directly to our heart, and it's a feeling that comes up, and it's such a key to pay attention to. And so when mm-hmm. I get that feeling, I just make another recording and just repeat it. And I find, you know, listening to that new recording, you know, I may want to then shift a word. And so then I make another recording. And uh-huh. and it just kind of gets dialed in to exactly what the heart's hungry to hear. My heart's hungry to hear.
Yeah. It reminds me of another phrase we've talked about a lot in the last couple of years as well, which is the spirit of inquiry, of just that process of discovery.
Yes, yes. Because mm-hmm. it's, it evolves. And one of the things that I've found is that, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, the subpersonalities are kind of shifting as I'm recording, and I'll get to a place where I want to shift it this way and then shift it a little more this way, and then I'll go back and listen and I'll say, oh, you know what, that first recording was really the one that I want to go back to now. So it's fun to play with that too.
Yeah. So you made a comment in a context that it took a while for you. You know, you'd been, I don't know how you would phrase it, but something along the lines of you've been hearing about recording, listening, and probably going along in your own way and doing your, you know, doing your part. But that it sounds like you're kind of in the middle of a shift with it, would you say?
I definitely am. And I have tried recording and listening in the past, and I have even had a lot of support around doing recording and listening and still didn't have it really take. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. I think, you know, what's important is to keep that open mind so that whatever happened before is what happened before. It's kind of like yesterday's meditation. Yesterday's meditation is gone, and now we're in today's meditation and just trying again.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's so key, isn't it? It's very practice, you know, because, of course, a conversation about, well, I'm not the kind of person who, or it doesn't work for me, or... And that's kind of the reason I wanted to ask you, is that it certainly seems that, you know, for whatever reason, well, I mean, we can guess the reason, it's a powerful tool, but conditioned mind doesn't care for it, you know, and kicks up all kinds of resistance. And so we hear a lot about people on the radio show or, you know, in various practice settings talking about how amazing recording and listening is. And I project what happens is, people round that corner, and then they call in. And it's so inspiring for everyone to hear that, but I think it's really also important to acknowledge there is resistance to it. You know, and just like you're saying, it's so key to just to not make any meaning out of that, to not believe that that's me, to not believe that that means anything about me, but to just keep going.
Right, right. And to let go of, you know, that kind of extra layer of conditioning that comes on about not doing it. Kind of like, you know, when you come back to the breath, just come back to it. Don't come back to it and then say, oh, I should have been here all along. You know, just come back to it. And that's kind of what it's been like for me with the recording and listening is, okay, now I'm back and I'm just back. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what wasn't. It is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll bet that's a key piece of that shift that you're experiencing, because what you're basically talking about is, what conversation am I in? So if I come back to the breath and I'm not even there long enough to have the benefit, to feel what that feels like, to feel the beauty and the miracle of just being here where everything is okay, if I don't get to be there long enough to have that experience, but the attention immediately gets bounced off into, well, but why aren't you always here? And you should always be here. And what then I don't realize the benefit of it. So same thing in recording. If I'm recording and then when I'm listening the whole time, the voice is saying to me, well, I don't really feel the way I think I'm supposed to feel, or I don't know, you know, whatever it is. We don't ever actually get to experience it. All we're experiencing is that conversation with conditioned mind.
Right, right. It's important to make that opening and to have that spirit of inquiry to see, well, what is possible and what can be happening and what do I resonate with?
Yeah, what do I resonate with? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many resources. I was in a setting today where we were talking about the recording and listening website. That's such a rich place of people, you know, contributing what their experience is with recording and listening, and, you know, ideas for how to use it and all of that. And so, you know, when we do find ourselves in that place of, gosh, I'm just not sure how this goes or how to do this or that sort of thing, to reach out to one of those resources and to watch, as you say, what resonates for this person, and then to begin that experimentation process.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, because I think the first time that I attempted it, I had an idea of how it was supposed to go and what it was supposed to look like. And really, it's a pretty open... It's a pretty open platform. There's a lot of ways it can look. And people can really find the one that speaks to them.
In fact, you know, Melissa, I'm not sure I've ever quite seen this in this way until you said that we'll talk a lot also about that place of it takes everyone, that each individual person is a unique expression of life, and therefore each recording and listening practice is going to be a unique expression of what that, for the wisdom, of how the wisdom comes through that person and what that particular human needs to hear as he or she awakens. So it is a very individual process, isn't it? Even though we can share it, it is particular to the person.
Yeah, there's as many ways to do it as there are, you know, ways to paint a painting. It's very individual and I think I had to work through a lot of skepticism, and I just want to encourage the other skeptics out there.
Stick with it. Hang in there. It's all part of the process.
Yeah. And know that that it is so open. There's so many ways to do it, and there's a way to do it that is for you.
Yes, yeah. And we can say there's no wrong way to do it.
Yes.
You know, it's all part of the journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're coming up to the 5 o'clock hour. Melissa, anything else you want to add in before we end?
I just wanted to say that the group coaching format is a really great format, and I'm really excited that there's another way to participate in Sangha.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It really is. And thank you for participating in this way this evening.
Great. Thanks so much, Jen.
Okay, take good care. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Melissa. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm great. And yourself?
Good. Are you click-free in this moment?
I am click-free. I got some tech assistance, and I have this now on my phone, sans AT&T.
Wow.
So I am a happy, click-free human.
That is wonderful.
Yes. Yes. technology and technicians.
Yes, a little ingenuity and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Speaking of which, how was that that conversation? So it's sort of we just heard 10 minutes of that, didn't we? Ingenuity and technology and gosh, really excellent points made about recording and listening in that one little conversation that those two gals had. It was very inspiring. I think my personal favorite was, there are as many ways to do it as there are ways to paint a picture.
Yes.
You know, that's such a clear image of each one of us is a unique expression of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I heard a lot of persistence and willingness in there also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, real exploration. Loved it. And I thought the point was really good that, you know, we tend to hear from people when they have turned the corner. You know, when they've had the experience and they got the mentor, they're enjoying the whole process. But we all went through that time of being on the other side of that corner.
Yes.
And, I don't really get it. And is it really, does it actually? And, and I forgot. And, you know, all of those things. So we probably ought to kind of emphasize that more so that wherever people are with it, we can know, yes, that's normal too. Yes. We've all done that as well. And on, because you're probably going to also have these other experiences that people keep talking about, or your particular version of that. You know, you will find the mentor, and it will happen for you, and like that.
Yes, yes. Can I share some of my experiences around recording and listening,
Michael?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Pardon? Yes.
Can you still hear me?
You were both here. Yes, now I can. You were very, very absent for a while.
Oh, okay. You can hear me now?
Yeah. And you can hear me.
Okay, good. I can almost hear myself as an echo. But let's try it, shall we?
Yes. I'm here and ready when you are.
Okay, good. So I had a couple of thoughts around recording and listening I wanted to explore for a moment, if there's time.
Oh, absolutely.
So what I notice is that I've been regular about recording. And on the listening side, I love listening to open air, monastery groups, group discussions, and I haven't spent as much time listening to the thousands of recordings that I've made myself. And so it just kind of occurred to me one day to try an experiment of just listening to my recordings.
Yes. And how was that?
Well, it's fun, and it's been going on for a couple of weeks. And what I notice, you know, for example, if somebody in group talks
okay,
about...
Okay, Michael?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
There's something either going on with my connection or your connection. So I'm gonna try. I'm sorry about this, but I'm gonna try another, coming in on another line, and just see if my technology didn't work quite as well as I had hoped.
Okay.
So you did an experiment listening to your own recording.
Yes. Yes, I did an experiment listening to my own recordings, and I'm still in the middle of that. I thought I would do it several weeks through the end of October. And one thing I noticed is that it's all about me.
Yes.
It's like a group of one.
Yes.
And, you know, for example, if somebody's talking in group about, or an open air about nature or the love of nature, that's inspiring. But when I listen to my own recordings in nature and how lit up I am, it's incredible. It's very noticeable.
What happens inside of you with those two situations.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I can really hear the lit upness, and it reminds me, you know, I do want to spend more time in nature. It's
yes.
great.
Yes. It. What happens is, that we go, in quotes, but we go right back to that experience.
Yes.
Right? So you're there doing whatever you're doing, and you feel completely lit up. And when
yes.
you verbalize that, when you talk to yourself about that experience, next time you listen, you go to the same experience within yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's very fun.
It's very fun. It really is the magic of it.
Yes.
That's the magic of recording and listening, because, I mean, there's lots of magic, but that's one of the things that I'm most enthusiastic about with this, because conditioned mind, you're out in nature, you're wherever you are, and you're completely lit up, and you're excited about it, and you just feel great, and you're so grateful and so fully alive. And then conditioned mind begins the campaign to take you out of that experience. So it might start talking about, you know, the Melissa and Jen mentioned this, you know, well, you know, but usually you don't feel that way. I mean, you love
Correct.
Feeling that way. Why don't you feel that way all the time? I mean, really, what's the matter with your life if you had the right life, wouldn't you feel like that all the time? And
yes.
with a few well-placed sentences, you've gone from ecstatic to depressed.
Yes.
But with the recording, you can just turn your attention back. You can listen to that recording. And you're right in that same ecstatic place again.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Another thing I've noticed too, when I'm not listening to my own recordings, old karma that doesn't come around very often can kind of surprise me
mm-hmm.
when it pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed when I'm listening just to my own recordings that I'm listening pretty much all day long. That the conversation with the mentor around that old karma comes up pretty regularly. And so it doesn't feel like a surprise.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because our karma, if we're not paying attention, it's a surprise to us.
Yes.
Right, as you're indicating. So I'm just kind of lost in conditioned mind, and I forget that I have all this karma about X, Y, or Z.
Yes.
But when I'm listening to the recordings, I've been encountering that karma. I've
yes.
been seeing it, seeing through it, getting to the other side, receiving guidance from the mentor. I've got programs that I'm doing and exercises and things that I'm focused on. So it's right there in front of my conscious awareness all the time.
Yes.
When it comes up, it's like, oh, yeah, that. Okay, so
uh-huh.
what I want...
Yes.
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's very good. And... you know, a lot of people don't have enough recordings to last them, say, through a drive to the, you know, wherever, or to get them through a day if they're going to be out and about all day long. And so having things like open air or
yes.
the kinds of, I mean, I know a lot of things are inspiring. I think Sangha is the most inspiring thing. Yes. So that's my choice. I like to listen to Sangha kinds of things when I'm not listening to my own recordings, because again, it brings me back here. So interspersing whatever it is about practice and then my own recordings.
Yes.
That's just the whole, that's the world I want to live in.
Yes. Yeah, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can sound like, oh, so what you're saying is, how egocentric, what you're saying is, you just want to live in a world of you. Well, what we're really describing is, I'm living in a world of life. Because life is animating this form. This is life's expression. This is where life is. Going up into conditioned mind and thinking about whatever else is going on that has nothing to do with this expression of life is what's actually egocentric.
Yes, yes.
Because
exactly.
Only ego would want to live separate from life.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. That was great.
And I have a couple announcements here.
All right.
There are just a few spots left for the New Year's retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Ring in the New Year surrounded by Sangha.
Yeah.
And do it soon if you want to be there with us.
Yeah. Get to the end of the show, but then get on the website because it's true. It's going fast.
Sign up for our next email class. Our project is Joy. Through assignments and reading others' responses, we feel connected and supported.
Mm-hmm. I have an inside track on this, so I've read a couple of the first classes, and it's going to be good.
Oh, excellent! Mm-hmm. Excellent, great.
Yeah, you'll. I think you mentioned this, right? That you like to record the classes.
Yes, I do.
And listen to them, and you're really going to enjoy recording these and listening to them.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Great, great. Our last guidance day of this year is December 13th.
Mm.
You can look at whatever is most important in practice with a personal guidance session.
Mm-hmm. Just in time for the holidays.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events. And reminders for today, if you want to talk with Sherry, make guest show, you can press *6 and then 1. Reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. And here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really good. It's lovely to be on the show.
Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
Yeah. Just before, I'll just mention I've signed up for the email class, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Good.
Very excited about that. Yeah. What I thought I'd like to talk to you about is for a really long time, forever and ever, like lots of people, I've had lots of addictions, and I've been working on them for a really long time, and I've done making a change for good several times, and made lots and lots and lots of progress. Usually, what's happened is that. Sort of like the addictions have got, better and better, so that it's a more, a less harmful thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm aware that when one goes, it would be replaced with something else. And I have done lots and lots of work, and all your work has really helped. It sounds quite funny. It doesn't really sound very hardcore at all, but like what I've sort of got it down to is now it is just chocolate. And I've reduced it down to quite strong chocolate, so there's less and less sugar. So trying to sort of make it as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with that one, but for quite a long time, really. It's as if it's like the last I don't know. And I know that there is the, you know, like the ultimate addiction to ego as well. So I'm aware of sort of all of that. It's quite a big subject for me, really. But there was Transform Your Life a couple of weeks ago. There was a quote. Can I just say it briefly?
Oh, yes,
a
please.
Short one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was October the 13th. So unlucky for some, but Nirvana is right here before our eyes. And it's Zen Master Hakuin, something mm-hmm. like that. And then you've got, there is no tomorrow, no alternative reality, nothing to look forward to. This is it, this here, now is Nirvana. And it was that little bit in the middle, nothing to look forward to.
Mm.
And so I've known all sorts of lots of answers to my addictions on an intellectual level. And I've all the time I'm like, I'll get it eventually, you know. And I had sort of come to that it's a comfort thing, and it's, you know, it's about sort of receiving love and things like that. And then I realised that nothing to look forward to. So one example is when I get home from work, it's having a cup of tea with a piece of chocolate immediately as soon as I get in. And just that quote and just that line, it really worked for me, finally. And so what it is, it's taking me out of the present moment,
yeah.
And which stems from a long, long time ago when the present moment was unbearable, so to speak. And that's sort of where it all came from, of course. For the last couple of weeks, I've been using that every day, nothing to look forward to. And it's right here. I'm already right here. I'm already right now. Have I made sense? It sounds like really, you know, awful, doesn't it? There's no tomorrow, no alternatives, and nothing to look forward to. But I found it really helpful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
yeah.
with the tea and the chocolate, that they're not a problem, right? I mean, really. Almost nothing that we do like that is a problem. But it's that I'm not in the moment I'm in because I'm comparing this moment to that moment. I'm looking forward to that moment. I'm surviving this moment until I can get to that moment.
Yeah,
and that's where
the
harm is, right? Not in the chocolate or the tea.
Yeah, I know. I know it sounds really, you know. And when I try and talk to people about it, it's like, you know, come on, you've got to have something. But, you know, I've had enough of it.
After what?
If I talk to people about it, you know, they say, well, you know, you've got to have some pleasures in your life, and it's only chocolate, but... It's not to me. It's like the devil or, you know, the snake.
It's what the process does to you. It's not the content. If you didn't think about it at all until you walked in and saw the teapot and then thought, a cup of tea and chocolate.
Absolutely,
oh, that would be lovely.
Then
it would be a whole different relationship, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And so what I've noticed is that I'm sort of holding myself all wound up tight and during the day, for example, and maintaining that until the time that I get home, and then I can relax.
Mm-hmm.
So that quote, nothing to look forward to, has really, really helped me see I can do that now. I can unwind right now.
Yes, because if I'm not having what I want now, and there's nothing to look forward to, now that is depressing.
Yeah.
But if realizing there's nothing to look forward to causes me to say, so I really want to be here for this, that's an excellent thing. And then everything can be a pleasure, because it's true.
Yeah.
That's how we're conditioned to think. Well, you've got to have some pleasures. Well, why? What is that about? So most of my life is unpleasant, and then I have these few things that are pleasures, and they need to come with guilt. We even have the expression, right? Guilty pleasures.
Yeah, yeah.
So I escape from my life into these things that are meant to make me feel good, that I actually feel kind of bad about.
Yeah.
That's a messed up system.
Yeah. 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 So I'm really, you know, I'm just sort of so happy because it's finally, you know, coming together and working a little bit more. But it was just, I just really saw that, I mean, I know and I'm aware and I've seen on other levels that when I'm not here, you know, and when I'm not conscious. But that sort of brought that together, you know, with all with the sort of all the various addictions that there have been. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, and escaping from that moment. And I was thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to, absolutely not. I want to, you know, enjoy my life wherever I am, whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
So,
a couple of things occurred to me about it that I think could be fun. I don't know if you'll think they're fun. But one is to arrange your day such that you have your tea and chocolate at some time during your day.
And during the day, yeah.
Yeah, and see if you can take that relaxation into the day.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so, I have done that before, But doing it in a more conscious manner.
Yeah. So what I tend to do is stay all wound up all day long, and then when I get home, I can relax. Okay, well, I want to relax throughout my day. So what are the things that I can do during my day to remind me to relax? Well, one of the things that I enjoy relaxing with is a cup of tea and some chocolate. Okay, so then I'm going to do that during the day when I really want to practice relaxing.
Okay.
Then when you get home, perhaps have something that you enjoy but doesn't have all of the stuff associated with it that chocolate does. So you have a cup of tea and something else.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Because I've moved on to a different type of tea. Because it was chai tea, which of course goes really well with chocolate. So I'm not drinking that at the moment. I'm drinking rooibos tea, which is delicious because it comes in lots of different flavors. But anyway, I've not had any chocolate for a really long time. Anyway, coming up to 2 weeks, and it feels great. It feels really good. I'm really really happy. You know, sort of, we even went out where, you know, we went on a day trip where there were, you know, all the specialist chocolates and that kind of thing, and I didn't buy any. And normally it's lasted about 3 days. You know, so I'm just really happy, really excited about it. So
when you bring your relaxation into the day, it sounds like you'll be bringing something other than chocolate, but the focus can still be on what would bring pleasure into a situation that is normally stressful or not relaxing or whatever.
Yeah.
How can I do that? Maybe even every couple of hours. What could I do? What could I turn my attention to that would help the body relax and
I've been doing lots more meditation, and I've got some specially recorded for when I'm at work, and those help. You know, those are wonderful, and they help me relax and help me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So
so there isn't quite so much expectation riding on getting home.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So I've been listening to my recordings more during the day. And I've been looking for, so I don't get a lot of opportunity to listen to them when I'm at work because I'm working with students a lot, you know, really. But I've been sneaking it in, you know, a bit more Yeah, and I find that really helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Plan your bathroom visits.
Yeah.
When you walk down the hall to somebody else's office or whatever, you're just right there and you turn it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that has been really helpful, and some of them I've done purposely that so they're 30 seconds, and they're just like, you know, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just feel your body and relax. And just one last thing to say as well, which goes with the email class, is that nature is a really big lift for me. You know, that's a wonderful kick.
Yeah,
I love meditation and nature have saved my life because well, I think that this goes with the addictions as well. So a long time ago, I was just completely cut off from myself and from nature. And slowly over the years, you know, I've been like, oh, my God, but the sky's blue. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not quite like that, but, you know, nearly. And so now I just adore it. I absolutely adore it. And it has the power to lift me. So I'll think about how I can do that a little bit more. I'll make myself look out of the windows.
Yes, absolutely.
During the day.
And
when
you know, just for all of us to remember that it really isn't the content. You know, when we're talking about finding those ways to slip in listening to the recordings during the day, it's that attitude of mind that is changing everything for us. You know, yes, it's wonderful to hear my voice say breathe and just let it all go, but it's remembering myself.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes the whole difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then look at a tree, and then we're
home. And look at a tree, yeah. I think that nature is the if you can use that as a reminder, because it is, of course, everywhere, including us. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
great.
Thank you, and thank you for writing that particular entry on Transform Your Life. I'm going to continue enjoying it for the rest of the year. And there's nothing
good
to look forward to.
Nothing to look forward to. Here we are. All right. Well, thank you so much, and good night.
All right. Good night, Sherry, and good night, Michael. Thank you. Bye-bye.
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 Thanks for joining us, Anna, and good night. Sherry, we're going to break to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the Services section, click on the Little Monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have many more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Okay, here's the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Zoe from Seattle.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Sort of.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Almost?
Yeah, like iffy, I don't know.
Iffy, okay. All right, good. Well, that's good. What's going on?
Well, I remember last time I called in, I remembered talking about how the voices have been sort of taking everything I like and sort of saying bad things about it, and, like, so I don't really have anything good.
Yep.
So everything that I like is turning bad, or they find something bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they did it about my friends. Oh, she said one thing. You can't be friends with her anymore. Or, so it was with friends, and now it's with soccer. And what I'm just keep saying, well, I like the games, but I don't like the practices because they're boring or they're just warm-ups. And so they've been sort of taking soccer out of my liking list or something. And the worst one that they've done recently is drama. I'm in drama this year. And I got a part that was wasn't my favorite, but I am doing it. And so that part, so they've been sort of telling me that, oh, you should quit drama, or this is bad, you shouldn't, and you don't like this part, so let's just make it bad. Let's just have the whole thing be gloomy. You should be bad, you should be feel bad the whole time. Sort of shaming me not to go. But I really like it, I really do. It's just, I feel not a bad kind of jealousy, but like, I just feel sort of jealous when the part that I wanted is like practicing. I mean, I feel good for them. I mean, good job, you got in, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes, but I forget to do it a lot, and yeah. So I used to do it, and meditation is hard because, of course, ADHD, I mean, I can't really sit still. So I've been sort of practicing.
Okay. So I would, of course, encourage it more and to do it in really, really specific ways. So with soccer, if you had a youngster who wanted to play soccer and had talent and was, you know, good and enjoyed it and that sort of thing, what would you tell that young person about playing soccer? I would imagine you would say things based on your experience of, you know, it's great to play, and there are certain aspects of it that are just not as fun and exciting as others. But the whole thing is playing soccer. So,
yeah, I would think I would tell them, like, well, if you want to get better at it, like, I know, like, if she or he or she, like, liked it, then they should keep going because they want to get better at it and they want to, like, succeed in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. And, of course, that's the same thing with me. And
right.
I sometimes talk back, at least I try to.
Well,
so.
The thing about it is, if it all happens inside your head, it won't work. Because you realize that that's a super negative force that's after you, right? It's trying to ruin everything in your life, for God's sake. So arguing with it just gives it attention. It's like feeding it. It's like, you know, if there's a bully and you get into a name-calling match with a bully. You know, it's not going to go anywhere because that's their whole deal, is to get somebody upset. So ignoring them is the best approach. And the same is true with the voices, those nasty voices in the head. So what you want to do is get that encouragement. And again, it's true statements. You know, if you like it, you want to do it as much as you can, because that's how you're going to get good at it. And the better you are at it, the more you're going to enjoy it, the more opportunities you'll have to play,
mm-hmm.
and like that. So you record that, and that's what you listen to. So with the drama, you know, what's true for you is, well, you know, it's really fun to get the part you want.
Mm-hmm.
And part of drama, part of acting, is to do a great job with whatever part you get.
Yeah.
And that's a lot like life, right? Because most of us would like to choose a different part that we play in life on occasion. But this is the part we've got. So doing a really excellent job makes the whole thing more fun and more interesting. Plus, it often leads to better parts. So then you're listening to that. You know, when it starts in on friends, you know, you do the same kind of rebuttal. Okay, I don't want to hear it. Everybody has faults. Everybody has, you know, I have faults. I have things about me I wish were different. I don't see myself as completely perfect quite yet. And so this, with this friend, this is what I like. This is what I appreciate. These are the good qualities. This is why I want this person to be my friend and why I want to be a good friend to my friend. And then as you amass those recordings, that's what you listen to. And every time the voices in your head start in, you just put those earbuds in, hit play, and you listen to what is true. And the more you do that, the more you'll have to say that is supportive of you. And then you'll record that and on and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, with drama, like, I really do like some parts about it. I really enjoy, not the lowest part, but it's sort of like middle. And I do enjoy a lot of the parts, except, well, yeah, it's mostly just with watching the other person do it that has a bigger part. It's just, so they're just someone saying, like, oh, you need to get that part. You shouldn't like this. You're shameful. It's, everybody's going to see that you're not a good actor. You can't get a big part. Like, and so mostly what my mom says, she's taught me to, like, talk back to it, just say, like, then ignore it. Like, say, oh, well, actually, I do like this. And so, like, just sort of, like, be quiet. So I then ignore it. So.
Yes, I'm just going to encourage you to do it with a recorder.
Yeah.
Because, again, what we're doing is withdrawing attention from it. So there is ignoring it, but if you don't replace it with something else, something you do want to hear, something you want to participate with and listen to, the attention will just keep sliding back there because it never shuts up.
Yeah, and the thing that I used to do, like when I was younger, and I knew about the voices, I didn't know when I was young, really young, but like 9 or 10, 11. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is that I would just make it an excuse. Like, oh, they're talking to me. I'm going to go watch TV to get out of my mind. Or I'm going to go read a book, mostly just watch TV because I like doing that. But so it would be like that. And then I would watch it, and then I'd be done with it. And I'm like, well, no, that now I'm starting back. I need to find something else to do. And so there was just an excuse for everything.
That's right.
Or there would just be, and so every, and like for me, I'm really happy, entertained. Like, I do not like being bored. That's what scares me.
May I tell you something about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not you that's scared. It's that voice. So what it's focused on constantly is getting you distracted or hammering you with things you should feel bad about. That's what's going on. It's controlling you all the time, right? And
mm-hmm.
so when it gets bored, when you're not doing anything to entertain it, it starts talking about boredom, and it starts really panicking. But that's not you. That's it. It wants to get you up, running around, focused on something that feeds it, feeling bad, whatever, or it wants you distracted. Watch TV, play a game, do something other than just being here, present, and happy.
Yeah.
And the recording and listening is training us to be here and be happy. So if you can be in the moment, if you've got a lot of energy, you know, go out and walk around and do it. But you're listening to something that really feeds your soul. You know, you're hearing good stuff. You're talking about your life and listening to somebody talk about your life in a way that has you feel good about you and your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to go for.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, some of that summarizes what I've been just trying to say. Like, I have been talking back a little, but I will start doing the recording and listening now. Yeah.
Just you, ignoring it is the key, but you want to get your attention focused on what is true for you, what pleases you, what makes you happy, what you feel good about, where you're successful, what
mm-hmm.
your goals are, what you enjoy, what you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and then you'll let me know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. Thanks for those reminders, Sherry. Very helpful.
Mm.
And we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Here we are.
Hi. Hi, this is Becca from Baltimore.
How are you? You sound out of breath. Are you running? I am.
I couldn't realize I had it on mute. Just in case, you know, I was banging around in the kitchen or something, and it took me a minute to figure out why you couldn't hear me. So.
As you're talking away. Well, it's good to hear from you. What's going on?
The reason why I called it, I'd really like to say how nice it was to hear Michael and you have a conversation earlier. I just feel like in recent years that I'm sure it's because there's so many callers that Michael doesn't often speak up and talk with you, but I always love the conversations you guys have. So I wanted to thank him
true,
for
it's
that.
It's true that in the old days we used to talk a lot, huh?
Yeah, there was more. It's true.
People would even send in emails and Michael would read them and we'd talk about them and all of that. Yeah, and now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're leading these busy lives, and we just never get to catch up.
I understand, and I just, I don't know, I just really appreciate hearing his voice in that way. So I wanted to say something. So what's been on my mind is that I have this weird thing around being sick. So I think you know about me that I'm sick a lot. And that I have the migraines, and I have all these things that I'm going through. But I have this weird thing where I don't want people to see me like that.
Yeah. I understand completely.
And what comes up for me as I've kind of, like, uncovered some things is that I don't want other people to suffer because I feel like seeing someone suffering causes other people to suffer. And I think that's kind of like at the heart of it. There's also some embarrassment, I think, too. Like there's like a shame that I should be healthier or I should not be suffering so openly, I guess. But I think there's also this part of me that's like, I don't want other people to suffer. And if they see me sick, then they'll suffer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I doubt that that's true. Actually, people will do whatever it is that they do, but I don't think we can cause one another to suffer. If there's somebody in your life who is given to that sort of thing, so you know we make this differentiation. So pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. So suffering is what happens when we. When we find something wrong with what is. So if you're sick, if you have a migraine, and I just can't accept that. It's wrong. You shouldn't be having that experience. I hate it that you have that experience. Then, yes, I can suffer over that, right? If I go to a place of it's really... difficult to see someone in pain and yet there's a trust that you're adequate to your life experience and
mm-hmm.
it's not actually about me, your life is not about me, then I'm not going to suffer over it. And so if I suffer, I'm choosing that suffering. I'm going to a
mm-hmm.
place where I'm making it about me. Is that...
Well,
make sense.
When you say that, it makes sense and on two levels, and one being how I feel about other people, but also the way that I deal with other people suffering. And so I'm projecting onto other people that they interact with other people suffering like I do.
Yes. Yeah. which may or may not be true. But mm-hmm. whatever it is that we're doing it. Other people actually can't. You know, there's such a belief in our culture that how I feel is the result of these external influences, that if things were different, if the content of life were different, I would be feeling a different way. But that's not true. That's exactly backwards to the way it actually goes. I feel how I feel, and I project the world that I'm living in, and then I feel my feelings based on what I'm creating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go along with that?
Yeah, I can. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing my friend saying, you know, we miss you, like you don't come out enough, and my husband saying, like, you know, you lock yourself away, and I do it because I feel like it's better for them, you know, not to have to see me like that.
Okay.
But
so now you could go, or you just don't want to. Are you too sick to go? So you know, everybody's going.
I'm too sick. I'm usually too sick. Like I am actually sick, but
yeah. So it's
but
not like
I can.
You could go. And you're just choosing not to. It's
no.
You don't feel like it.
No, I really don't. But part of the reason why I don't feel like it is because I don't feel like holding this image that I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? Like I could go and just be feel how I feel. I mean, what's the difference between that? You know, sometimes it's much more comfortable to be in bed, for instance. But sometimes you're just going to suffer whether you're in bed or not.
Right. And so you might as well go along and just sit there as everybody eats their pizza.
Exactly, and just be there with them, because that seems to be what they're asking for.
Yeah.
They're not saying, we need you to be well. They're saying, we'd really like you to be here with us.
Right, there you go. Now, that seems like closing in on something really significant, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. if that system... that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate system, is using your physical well-being or lack thereof as a way to control you. And mm-hmm. the layer of that we can see is, well, you know, you're going to make people feel bad if they see you, and so just stay home and isolate and be with me, the voice in
mm-hmm.
your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you how things are. So... it might be really worthwhile to check it out. So, you know, I have these headaches, and I don't always feel real chipper, but I'd like to be with you guys. So is it okay if I come along and just, if I'm quiet, just can you know that it's okay, I'm all right, and I want to be with you, but I'm not feeling terribly outgoing, whatever your version of that would be, and just see if they would say, oh, God, yeah, come however you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would. And then there's just also the other side of the coin, which is that I don't necessarily tend to show it very well when I'm in social situations. So a lot of times I could be kind of incognito, not feeling well. You know, like I've said to my friends before, oh, it must be so obvious that I have a headache right now. And they always look at me and they say, no, I didn't know. So, like, I could even just be that way and lose the, like, shame that I have about being not as present. That's what I usually hear is, well, I'm not really present, so I shouldn't go, you know? And just, like, let go of that and just be that with them. And I don't even necessarily have to bring up that I don't feel well if I'm not embarrassed about being different than I usually am.
Because, you know what? When, especially when we're in relationship with that voice in the head, it seems like everybody is attending to everything about us all the time.
Of course, I notice.
Yeah, but what you get is people who know you well and love you have no idea what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you get it that those are just voices of self-hate you're listening to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that's going on. I mean, why you have a headache, you have migraine. What's to be ashamed of?
I know.
Did you choose them? Did you
mm-hmm.
you know, did you wake up each morning and say, boy, I hope I have a migraine today?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you could get rid of them, they'd be the first thing that you did. So what is to be ashamed of? And if you don't feel well, you don't feel well. There, that's it.
No, it's just so great. It's great to see it because I've gotten through so much around them. Like, I used to think that I deserve them, for instance, and so I've gotten through that piece of karma around them. Like, I've gotten through so many things. It's sort of exciting to see this new piece, like, being revealed in a way.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I, of course, wonder what the relationship is between those headaches and that nasty voice that is...
interested
in you staying in this isolated, feeling bad, a home alone with it place.
Well, I think an interesting thing to do would be to start writing down what it means. Because I have like a running tally of it, but I have never written it down, like process mapping.
Yeah.
Like map out exactly what does the headache mean about me? What does it mean about the future? What does it mean about what happened yesterday? Like it has like all these things that it means. Yeah.
Now, do you do recording and listening?
Yes.
Okay. So then when you record those, this would be my suggestion, a lie that I hear is, and then whatever it means, whatever it says, what's true is, and then you say what is true. And you do that for each one of those things. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then take the ones that are true and make those into separate recordings. They could be, you know, you could embellish each one of those into its own recording. You could record them all together, right? And and then start listening to that instead of those voices and just see what kind of a change that starts to make.
Yes, and I could also make one for, like, the beginning of the migraine that has all that awareness in it so that maybe I can be a little more aware as the migraine unfolds because I've gotten pretty close to making it to the end now, so...
Yes, well, and above all, kindness to the poor person who's experiencing this. It's bad enough to have migraines, but then somebody beating on your head while you're having them. That's just cruel beyond cruel.
I know. It's very, very clear how cruel it is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Becca, at some point, would you write to the registration office? And so that I can get your information, because I have something I want to pass along to you.
Okay, absolutely.
Good.
I would gladly do so. Thank you.
We'll be in touch then, huh?
Yes, we will. It's so great to hear your voice, Sherry.
And yours. Good night. Hey, by the way, I spent Saturday with a mutual favorite of ours.
Oh, you did? Oh, my goodness. How heart-opening is that?
We actually talked about you, so there's that.
Oh, well, thank you for that. That made my night.
All right. Good night.
All right, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Becca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're close to the top of the hour here.
Already? My goodness.
Yes. Should we talk to another person, or should we call it a night here?
Why don't we call it a night, Michael?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be concerned that we'd get right in the middle of something. You know how we are.
Yes.
And then we'd go over and there would be that. So, next week?
Yes. Same time, same place.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.